Unleash your fetish on ClipserSale, the number one platform for fetish content creators. Whether you're a seasoned fetish producer or just looking for a way to monetize your kinky side hustle, ClipserSale provides the tools, resources, and community support you need to supercharge your sales and build your brand. Join thousands of creators worldwide. Sign up today at c4s.com and start turning your fans into customers with Clips for Sale.
Called Authentically Kinky, and it is presented by Dating Kinky and is powered by Clips for Sale. And here is your host, John, or as we like to call them, Hi There, Catsuit.
It is a Fetish Friday on Authentically Kinky, presented by Clips for Sale, and it's a creator spotlight. And joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, is the one and only Jasmine J. I love Atlanta. You're so lucky to be there. Talk to me a little bit about how you started this journey, because you did not start it in the sex industry. You very much were into marketing other things.
I was, which is very kind of interesting about this whole thing. I was also, I would kind of say I was a late bloomer to sexuality and things like that. I didn't like party until I was in college. So when I was kind of introduced to kink and things like that, it wasn't anything that I had ever been in at all whatsoever. I had a roommate that had done fetish modeling in the past. And so, you know, I initially started my career journey working right out of college doing marketing and advertising for radio, out of home advertising and things like that. So I honestly thought that I was going to be doing more of a traditional type of career. I thought I was going to stay with a company for a very long time and do that until I retired. So when I actually, my position was eliminated, that kind of opened the door for me to kind of look at other opportunities for work, basically. And at the time, I had someone who was like, hey, you want to help me do this stripper booking agency thing? And I think I had actually started that while I was still in corporate world. So when I did actually lose my corporate job at the time, I was looking for other opportunities to make money because I don't think I was really necessarily ready to go back to corporate. I was able to see what kind of money you can make dancing at private parties, stripping, and I was, you know, still working my corporate job and my paychecks really weren't like leveling. It wasn't making much sense for me anymore. And I wasn't really having much fun working behind a desk, working for somebody else. So when my position was eliminated, I mean, I did go look for other jobs at the time, but I slowly kind of realized that that maybe wasn't for me anymore. And my roommate, who was a fetish model, like a long time ago, she was trying to get back into the industry. And she mentioned to me about FetishCon, and she was like, you should so go. You need to check this out. You could totally be a fetish model. And honestly, at the time, because, fetish model has that word model in it, I just really didn't see myself as like a model. My roommate was kind of like a blonde bombshell type. And so I, at the time, weighed probably 40, 50 pounds heavier than I am now. I'm 5'4", so I just didn't really see myself as, like, a traditional, like, model. And I didn't really understand what fetish modeling really was at the time. So she was like, you should just come check it out. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I don't really have anything to lose at this point. You know, it was kind of a vacation opportunity, really, if anything. So I went with her. And like I said, she had been in the industry already for a while. So she had already had like a bunch of connections within bondage. So I went to a whole bunch of her shoots during that weekend. I got to meet a lot of people that she had worked with already. So it was really easy to kind of like put myself in there, having this person who had already kind of done it and knew it. So I told myself, like, after that weekend, I was like, this time next year, I'm going to come to FetishCon again, but this time I'm going to have my own clip store and I'm going to have bookings. So it's basically what I did. I started my own clip store and, you know, FetishCon rolled around again next year and I started booking my own stuff. And I guess kind of like the rest is history. I've been to pretty much every single FetishCon since then, except, you know, the ones where COVID was. So we didn't have them. But yeah,
I'm actually surprised we haven't met each other. Because yeah, I've been at the last two. I'm the tall one with a cat suit. It's kind of hard to miss me, but this year I was on the end of the red carpet getting to interview people as they came off the red carpet, which was kind of cool. FetishCon feels like home, doesn't it? Especially when you're around people who just absolutely love what you do.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this the other day, trying to explain it to some other models that I had met recently that have not been to FetishCon, but have been to, like, you know, XBiz or like AVNs, which are, I feel like, are a lot bigger, obviously, than FetishCon. But I was trying to think of like a way of explaining how FetishCon is, and that is like a great way to like kind of talk about it, because to me, FetishCon feels like home. It feels like more of like community. Like, I feel like I get like a better sense of like the people who are involved at those types of that convention versus like AVN. Now, of course, I haven't been to XBiz or like an Exotica, only been to AVN, but I really always enjoy that weekend with FetishCon to see people that I've worked with over the years, or, you know, that I don't ever get to see, you know, or people that I've been friends with online that I've necessarily never met in person. You know, it's kind of cool to reconnect or see old faces, and then not only that, get to interact with, like, you know, fans and things like that, which I don't know. I mean there are fans at other, you know, conventions and things like that, but I just feel like it's more personal there.
I'm gonna let your stream catch. Did working in radio and marketing help you learn to network in the adult industry? Because having been in media myself, there's a lot of similarities.
There are. And I think that's why I enjoy doing this work so much, because it was something that I was already kind of geared and doing anyways. But now I get to market like my favorite product, me. So, you know, it just makes total sense. And I was, when I went into radio, I was kind of like literally thrown into a position, and I kind of had to learn a lot on my own. I was kind of told later on that necessarily wasn't like a position that they were considering giving me, but just because I was so like pestery about it, that they ended up giving me an interview and ended up loving me and giving it to me. But I do believe that learning skills, how to talk to people, how to problem solve on your own. And then in college, I learned how to do some video production skills already. I was doing like the news. I was in like a news class or whatever. And I also did a whole bunch of like radio things as well. So I think that did help in prepping me with things. Also, I feel like a lot of times I have like business cards and other things, and sometimes people haven't considered those types of things. So those are important to have. And I feel like I kind of come from an artistic type of background anyway. So like making my own, you know, business cards or like flyers or things like that are really fun for me, because it's like the, you know, part I can be creative with.
What was your first foray into fetish? What was the first thing you ever modeled for?
The first thing I ever modeled for, this is a tough one because honestly, it's been over 10 years that I've been doing this. So it's probably a toss up between something with maybe balloons or it was probably balloons or bondage now that I think about it. But definitely ball busting as far as like them dom stuff. So I want to say it was my roommate, Angel Lee. She's not in the business anymore, but she was the one who introduced me to a lot of these, fetishes and what a clip store was. And I was able to meet Scott Torvay, who lives here in Atlanta too. And he was an insight of a lot of information. He's awesome. Still work with him here or there today, but I was introduced. I want to say it was balloons probably first or bondage, because she did a lot of that on her store as well. But yeah, which is funny because balloons is actually one of my main sellers right now on Clips for Sale. So
I am always amazed how people love balloons.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it. I'm not an actual, like, they don't turn me on or anything like that, but they do make me very happy and they do give me a lot of joy. I'm very fortunate to have somebody here in the Atlanta area who actually helps me a lot with the balloon stuff as far as creating sets and things like that. And like the days that I do my balloon stuff always actually make me really happy, because just how they're used and set up in such a way that I never thought of. It's another funny tidbit of information. In high school and a little bit of college, I worked at Publix in the produce section. And so in the floral department. So I was very responsible for balloons there too. So okay. It's almost like been following me like my whole entire life anyway. So I feel like this kind of like was meant to be. But I do love the balloons too, because there are so many other categories that are connected with it, like inflatables, beach balls, all like plastic or PVC kind of too, shiny stuff. And then also too, like, I'm not necessarily having to be like sexual all the time with these types of like clips either. It's sometimes, you know, I'm recreating some sort of like childhood memory, or I'm being mean, or I'm just, you know, being happy and having a good time. So, you know, I'm not having to do something that I wouldn't necessarily like, you know, this is fun for me. So it's not necessarily work all the time.
So is being on the femdom side your natural character, or is it something that you just enjoy doing a lot?
That's really interesting to think about, because like normally I would probably say that no, I would say that I'm more of like a very kind and generous and humble sort of person, but I will say that over the years, as far as like managing business and people and strippers, and then on top of that, I was doing a lot of like phone sex operating and texting the last couple of years with another platform, and that really brought that femdom side out of me that I didn't necessarily thought really existed, but it does. Very much so. And I feel like because I've had the experience of being in a leadership role already, with, you know, business, being a leader with like dancing at parties and things like that. And like I've done parties at like fraternities with like over 100 plus people, actually, you know, having people listen to me and being quiet. And I feel like that does.
At a fraternity?
Yes, plenty of them, all over the state of Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, North Carolina. I've done a lot of fraternities, and that was actually something that I had to like stop doing because it's so funny to say this because it's so true, and it's like a part in a movie, but I keep getting older and they stay the same age, you know what I mean? So it's like,
I understand that part. Yep.
It's just funny to me. Every once in a while, like I have done them or whatever, but only if I'm like feeling in the mood. Most of the time, like those are like very difficult parties to do because you have to have a very strong personality. You have to, you know, commend the crowd and have them actually listen to you. So, and a lot of people like aren't able to do that. So I have no problem telling people to, you know, shut the F up. And if I'm talking, you are not. So I think a lot of those qualities and aspects do come into play with like the whole femdom thing, because they want someone who is naturally a leader, naturally in a position of power.
Uh-oh.
Working
you just cut out a little bit there. So you were talking about naturally in a position of power. You can pick it up right there.
So because I've always just naturally been in this position of power, it was almost like, you know, that's what submissives and things of the femdom categories, that's what they want. They don't want someone who's like faking that kind of thing. And I've had plenty of experience in real life doing that. And, you know, I've told girls all the time, if you have like real life experience being a leader, or if you've got like had a power position, I mean, even if you've been a mother, that's some power position where you've been in control, you know what I mean? So it's like use those things to really demonstrate your power, or, you know, have fun with your submissives.
I actually got a chance to see a tweet today from a woman who was on our program on our regular Tuesday show, named Mistress Batten, who is from South Africa. And she was an actress and television personality before she got outed into being a professional dominatrix, because that's what she enjoyed doing. She stepped back on the set today for the first time in a vanilla role. And of course, they had her playing, what else? A dominatrix. But the people on the set, and this is where I'm going with this, the people on the set were not judgmental. They were asking questions like, what does this feel like? When you go into a fraternity, you obviously have a lot of hyped up testosterone-filled guys. But do they ask the questions of what is it all about? Or do they just think it's a sexy thing?
I would say that there's probably definitely a mix of both, of the horny guy and the actually like curious guy. I get them both at, you know, most parties really, because I do sometimes at, you know, performances, parties, I do these show pieces. And like one of the things that I do sometimes is I spank the guest of honor. And so sometimes I will spill out like, oh, I'm not only an entertainer or a stripper, but I'm also a femdom. So people pay me to hurt them. It's usually like it hypes the crowd. People are like, oh my God. So it's kind of like a way to help me make more money. But yeah, usually guys they're either like, oh, this must turn you on so much, or they're curious and like, well, what else do you do? You know? You get a little bit of both. But you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, it doesn't traditionally make me excited in the way you're thinking. Because when people do ask me like, well, what are your kinks? I'm like, money and power. So, I mean, it does turn me on in some sense, you know what I mean? So I'm like, well, do you get horny at your job? And usually they're like, well, no, not nonsense. But, you know, and that's kind of like that fine line that I have to always kind of like walk at these parties, because, you know, at the end of the day, they want this fantasy of, you know, the sex stuff, like, you know, that's, I feel like that's what society sees us a lot of the time. And so, you know, if you're not fulfilling that, that sometimes that upsets them, because that's what they, you know, have thought their whole life, that that's what a stripper is like, oh, wait a minute, you're not like, you know, do extras or anything like that. I mean, I'm not putting down people who do that or full service or anything like that. It's just not what I do, or not all strippers do that. And so a lot of times guys are like, like, really, like, it's like, you've watched way too many movies. You like talks too many, like, you haven't had a real conversation or actually been. And I mean, there are people do it at the club or whatever. So I can't say that they've probably not had an experience like that. It's just, not everybody does it. So
what's it like to actually be seen? Because when you're in an industry like yours, people sometimes see an object, but what's it like to be truly seen for who you are by somebody?
I would say that's probably the ultimate, because I think a lot of creators probably have that problem, being seen as who they actually are, instead of being seen as, like, you know, my stage personality, which I'm not saying that's not a part of me. It's just not 100% who I am all the time. There's a lot more depth. There's a lot more to me, a lot of things that people are, you know, surprised to know about me that they wouldn't know about me unless they actually got to know me. So that's something that I do value a lot when I meet people who, you know, it is hard for people not to ask a lot of questions up front, but, you know, it's nice when they're asking, like, deeper questions, or, like, you know, they're not trying to pry or get off on the information that you're telling them. Because it is sometimes difficult to not become sort of like a novelty piece, you know, among people who aren't in this, you know, profession or do this full time, just because they don't really know what I do necessarily. So unless I'm speaking out or educating, then, you know, I feel like that's kind of important to me to do these sorts of things, to show that, like, I'm not just, you know, this person on a screen. Like, I do have, like, a personal life. Like, I have pets. I had a life prior to doing, you know, porn or fetish. You know, I have family, I have siblings. So I have, like, you know, the normal things that other people have. I just do something different that most people don't do for work. And I feel like a lot of people forget that this is a job sometimes. But I do really love my job, and I'm very grateful for my job. And I don't think I would be doing this if I didn't really, like, enjoy it. I mean, like, when I was a kid, when I was younger, I was creating and doing fake commercials and things like that. So it only makes sense for me that I was supposed to either be in front of the camera or behind it. So, like, this is, like, the perfect thing. I feel like I'm basically playing, like, dress up and, like, make believe all the time. So, you know, it's fun for me.
I want to talk about two different aspects of you. One comes from the fact that when I display your All My Links, it says professional findom, Jasmine J. Findom can get a bad rap if it's done the wrong way. What is your view of findom and doing it the right way?
So, well, it's funny that you did mention my All My Links. So I initially did put findom in there because of SEO purposes, to hope in hopes to gain more of those potential findom slaves. But I feel like findom was kind of introduced to me the same time where I was learning a lot about, like, communicating with femdom stuff too. And I was, and I still use the platform Sex Panther, where I was able to actually get, I feel like, a lot of thin slaves and pay pigs and things like that. But it is, I feel like, our duty to, you know, and there are several different, I feel like, ways of like draining, really. I don't feel like it's all about just like someone just handing over an absorbent amount of money. Every client is going to be different. So you're, you know, a drain for them could be totally different versus somebody else. Or, you know, I could talk to text to someone, you know, all day, or send them content all day, and that would be draining them basically too. That's another way of femdom in itself. Or just, you know, I feel like I'm doing that at every time I do, you know, a private party, because that's all they're doing is literally just handing me their money that they have right then and there. You know, and it, like I said, everyone has a different budget. Like, I've had plenty of people who have sent me multiples of, like, you know, $20. I've had guys who, you know, give me more for literally doing nothing. I have clients who, you know, I will send them video message after video message after video message, which they have to pay for. And that is like draining them. So it's not always just, oh my God, someone just sent me, you know, four figures. You know, a drain could be talking to somebody all day and taking all their money within, you know, a certain amount of time. They could be tipping small little bits. You could be sending arsenal weapons.
Yeah, that could be a key word there, tipping, though, because what you are doing is you are providing a service or a feeling that they are tipping you on. And that's right. A totally different way for me to look at it, which I think is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, sometimes it's like triggering them to do something, you know. Sometimes, you know, just, you know, some people are different. Sometimes I have to actually say, I think you need to tip me now, versus, you know, sometimes, like I said, it's sending them a piece of media to open. Mm-hmm. You know, it just varies on who your client is. Once you know who your client is, what their triggers are, what they're into, then that's when you can take advantage of them, obviously within their consent. But once you know what they're into, like, once I know, like, that is their thing, then that's all I'm going to do is create content geared towards that thing to get them triggered to either want to open more of my content, mm-hmm. or send me more stuff, or just be more obsessed. You know, that at the end of the day, that's all that I really care about, is that they just continue to come back for whatever it is that their need is. And if I know what their need is, then I'm going to like poke at
them. Yeah. It's so. Fandom to the ultimate extent is what it is.
Right. Not everybody gets this privilege to have the one-on-one, you know, mm-hmm. experience, even if it's, you know, just online or digitally. Still, like, that is like my time that I cut out that they're getting, you know, just with, you know, us two or whatever it may be. I always try to like always take care in any of the content that I make or whatever that I'm doing. It's funny because, like, back when I worked at Publix, they were like, don't put out produce that you wouldn't buy yourself. So, like, if I don't like it, I probably won't, like, put it out. Or if I wouldn't buy it, then I wouldn't put it out. So I always keep that in the back of my mind. Like, I want these people to come back, right? So, you know, I'm always trying to be thoughtful, and especially with communicating to clients to, you know, I do always, you know, keep all of my experiences that I've learned and, you know, throughout all the years in the back of my mind. But, you know, I always try to, at least in the beginning, you know, treat everybody with, you know, kindness and, you know, fairness. So.
And that's all you can ever ask for. Let's talk a little bit about your clip store, because we are presented by Clips for Sale. Are you ever surprised at what sells?
Absolutely. Most of my, I want to say, like, top generating category sellers have all been, like, off of, like, some sort of custom that somebody commissioned from me. And I was like, well, I guess I need, you know, an upload today. Let's just go ahead and upload this and just see what it does. And then it would, like sneezing, for instance, like, that was based purely off the one of someone's custom request. And like, I'm not saying like, I was very shocked by that one. I never considered that to be anything that I would ever like make content for, but I had gotten like a custom for something in that category. And so at the time I was being very strict with like, okay, I need to have like so many uploads per week or whatever. And so I was like, well, it's an upload. Let's see what it does. And I still, at the time, and I mean, I guess still kind of now, that my main clip store is kind of like a hodgepodge of different sorts of fetishes, like the sneezing, the funny faces, hairy arms stuff. Those were all kinds of things that necessarily I wasn't thinking about at first, and they kind of took off. So those are categories that I always can.
Uh-oh, we had another pause there. We can pick it up. Let's see if you come back. There we go. You paused it a little bit. So you, the last thing I heard is those are categories I can.
So those are categories that I can always count on to make sales for. So that one clip store, I always try to have it rotating with either a sneezing clip, a hairy arm clip, a crazy funny face clip or whatever, because I know it's always going to make sales. And for some reason, if I don't do anything else, if I just upload one of those once a month, the store still tends to generate a decent amount of money for not like doing anything on it, like maintenance wise. And that's why, like, I know this year, that's one thing that I'm trying to really focus on a little bit more, is getting back to doing more content creation for my clip stores on a regular basis. I feel like,
pardon my interruption.
No, no, no. Go ahead. I feel like with my balloon store, that has been consistently really successful for me, like financially making more than any of my other clip stores have. So I've spent more time on that. And now that I know that I've made it work there, that I want to be able to make my other stores make what I'm making on the balloon stores on my other stores too.
If you would like to pause to get a drink, that's perfectly fine. There you go. We've been talking quite a bit, and so I'm going to wrap it up here in a second. But I want to thank you for spending the extra time with me with all the technical issues. So thanks. Here's what I wanted to talk about before we leave, because you mentioned it just now. Your funny face clips.
Yeah.
You are so delightful.
It's funny because I love when I make those sales, because those clips like make me laugh like hardcore sometimes, because most of the clients those were purely all like mostly customs that I've gotten all for those. A lot of them are like, can you just contort your face and make it like look like super crazy? So a lot of the times I'm, you know, recording myself. So I'm looking at myself in the camera and like trying to make just like these crazy, and it's hard not to laugh and smile when you see those. It's funny because the other, like my other Twitter followers and my other like creator friends or whatever, Clips for Sale fetish models, they're like, whenever I see your funny face clips come up on the timelines, they make me laugh so hard. I'm like, I know, me too. I can't believe I'm making money off this stuff. So it's fun. I enjoy doing them. Although sometimes I'm like, if I'm doing that, is that going to like make like these like weird fine lines come up on my face or something like that? So I am cognizant sometimes when I'm making these clips, but the funny face stuff, yeah, it's a lot of fun because it's just literally, I'm literally just doing crazy crap with my face.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. And thank you so much for spending the time with us this evening on our Fetish Friday Creator Spotlight. Jasmine J, you are a delight.
Thank you so much for having me and pronouncing my name right.
I do my best. We're going to wrap it up here and just hang with me for a moment as we say goodbye to our viewers. I am grateful for having Jasmine on the show, and I'm grateful for having you as a viewer. I'm John, also known as Hi There Catsuit. I hope I've earned the privilege of your time, and I remind you to always remember consent and to love each other always.
Joining us for the show. You can get all the information on the podcast by visiting AuthenticallyKinky.com. You can find our theme song on Spotify. It's called Freya by Masuna, and you can find links to their work on our website as well.
This has been a presentation of Dating Kinky, built by kinksters, for kinksters, poly, queer, trans folk, and anyone not quite vanilla. And it's free.
Hi, I'm Kendra James, and as a fetish creator myself, I know there are a lot of options to sell my content on, but when it comes to a platform that I trust and that works for me, Clips for Sale has always been number one. With reliable payouts, content protection, chargeback forgiveness, and great internal traffic, I know my content is being seen by the right customers because Clips for Sale invests in marketing to make sure that I succeed. It's time to join a community that cares about fetish creators at c4s.com.